Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show, about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
Welcome to the official Impractical Jokers podcast. My name is Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
Of course, we have Tina Santamoro.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest. Bonnie McFarland is here.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming. So you have done a lot of fun stuff. You just finished doing the roast of Alec Baldwin for Comedy Central. You were writing on that.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing before we get rolling? You guys had no energy right up until it was time to go.
That's true.
Whoa!
Hello.
You guys gotta turn it on.
Don't worry, it'll go away again. That's how we start.
It's gonna dip. Okay. Yeah,
we try to start.
It dips.
Yeah,
definitely. That was the peak.
I actually got scared a little bit. Yeah, we try to frighten our guests.
Okay,
and
guys.
Then we think that's how we get the best content.
Right.
We'll continue to yell at you. We'll throw things at you throughout
this. Thank you. Yeah. Keep me awake.
Knives will
there's
fall
plenty
from the ceiling.
To throw. So.
Yeah.
Well, Bonnie, thanks for being here. Now you've done a lot of, I mean, you're a great stand up and you also do a lot of the roasts, and that's fun.
Yeah. I've never officially written on a Comedy Central roast.
Okay.
This is my first one. I mean, I've written for other people on the roast, but this one, I actually, went to LA and sat in a writer's room every day for 2 weeks.
Was that fun?
It was really fun. At the end, I started getting like, well, it was the first time I was really away from my daughter for that long. And so she was, she met her father. And during those 2 weeks, Rich took her for 2 weeks. And it was kind of great that they like really bonded. And I think, I like to think they saw what I contribute on a daily basis. They did call me a couple times like, she's not cleaning up. He's not cleaning up.
I bet you it was the hardest 2 weeks of their lives.
I don't know. They seemed pretty happy to have me back. So that felt good.
That's great.
Yeah.
And, well, and speaking awesome. Of your husband, you have the roast of Rich Voss.
The greatest roast in history.
Yeah.
Yeah. The legend. I don't know what it's called, but something with the word legend in it.
Yeah. And you wrote and directed that.
Yes. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, I didn't write for the guys.
Right.
Like in this roast, I wrote for a lot of the people on the dais, but that roast, everybody wrote their own because they're the greatest roasters ever just on their own. And it was, they kept calling me like weeks before the roast saying like, is this a good joke? Is this a good joke? And,
that's cool.
Yeah. They were like into it. They wanted to be great.
And that's probably that was probably easier to get things approved. Like Comedy Central has approval systems with some of the jokes, right?
Well, yeah. In fact, at the last minute, there was a whole bunch of jokes that we were not able to use because someone on the dais didn't want those jokes used.
Amazing.
I can't say any more than that. I've signed an NDA.
Well, there are parallels with like roasts and like what we do on this show, because like the guys are kind of like the
they
show
are roasting
is,
each other, right?
Yeah, they are, and in different ways. Like they'll say things, of course, like no one knows you as well as your best friend who in some situations becomes your enemy because they're making you say things or do things against your type.
Right.
And so this show is always in my mind always prepared me in a way like for that kind of roast mentality.
Well, I also think one of the keys of a great roast is when the people being roasted are laughing.
Right.
And then that's one of the keys of this show too, is that like whenever there's just something so fun to watch everyone giggling and you start giggling, you're sitting there by yourself like a loser, like, it is like so fun.
It is great. Like watching the person hear the joke about them is just as good as the joke itself.
Yes. Right. Right.
Like there was one, I watched the roast of Alec Baldwin, which was great. And there was one that Alec Baldwin said about Blake Griffin, which was like, I wish we were closer, how close your eyes are to each other. Like,
that was so great.
Ruining it. But he laughed so much, but you also can tell he was self-conscious about it.
Yes.
But it was so funny.
I think he was finding out for the first time during that roast that he had eyes that were close together. Because there was a couple of references to it. And he was like, the first time he was like, what?
It's so funny.
I always think that's funny about roasts too. Like, you prepare yourself a little bit. Whenever I've been on a roast, I'm like, what are they going to say about me? And you know, it's always like, oh, your husband's dumb. So I feel okay. No. But then what if you heard like, oh, you have bad breath or something? You're like, oh, okay, it's one person. But what if like three people say it? You're like, you have to reassess.
Confirmed,
you
know?
You're like, oh God.
Oh, that's my biggest fear. Finding I have bad breath. I told friends, I'm like, you have to let me know. I don't want to be like that other friend that we don't say anything about.
Right. I know. Like, you're like,
I know.
Yeah. But it's also,
we signed an NDA about that friend.
Yeah, I know.
We can't tell him.
But also, Kim Congdon works with us here on Jokers.
Yeah.
And she's a great roaster as well.
Yes.
And I love the days where she's like working on roasts, like at lunch or whatever here. And the thing
like that you say at lunch, like you don't want to get her in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Which I guess technically like I'm her boss.
Off the clock.
She would do it.
Because technically I'm her boss, which is also like, don't tell me when I'm off the podcast. But like, she'll like run jokes by us. And she's like, yeah, this guy, like he wanted me to talk about like his wife had a miscarriage. Because like, and like that was like the material that he gave her to be like, yeah, you can make fun of this thing. And I'm like, that sounds over the line. She's like, no, that's what he gave me. So I didn't know that was the thing with like roasters sometimes will give other people material that's like, yes, please, you can talk about
it. Of course the husband gave that to her.
Yeah.
It's probably, yeah, that's right. You're right. It's probably more like, oh, everything's on limits or off, or like some things are off limits, right? It's like some people are probably like, you could say literally anything you want. There's nothing.
Well, it's weird what will make certain people angry. You know what I mean? Like there were certain people on the roast that were like, everything, like Caitlin was like, everything's fair game. You're like, what? Are you insane?
Yeah. Great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the roast battlers, they're hardcore.
Yeah.
I've witnessed, I mean, two people where one person, their whole family had died, and the other person, their dad had died. And it was just, it was.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was like.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then I was thinking, is this like some kind of immersion therapy? Where you just say like the meanest things about the most hurtful things, and then you come out, you're okay.
You're right. Like roast battles are so much crazier than the roasts.
Yes.
Like the roasts are like fun. And like you said, like getting like the person to laugh. Roast battles, not about getting the other person to laugh.
No.
It's about just getting the audience to laugh. And so it's like everything's like, you know.
I know sometimes I like in roast battle, I'll stand up and like spin around, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I can't handle it.
This episode, to jump into it, like, I mean, I could literally, I talk about the roast forever. This episode, I don't think has too much roasting. There's nothing that's too much like where they're mess. This is like a fun one.
The,
in that.
The fan at the end was roasting a little bit.
Oh yes.
That
we'll get to the punishment like in a bit, because that's I'm so excited for this punishment. Like I love it. Like the original idea was one that like I was excited about with just Joe having to get zinc on.
Right.
And then the way it changed, we'll get to it.
Okay.
But this first one, massage, right?
The massage.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. It's so good.
It's already uncomfortable because they have to be half naked.
I mean, it's already uncomfortable because they're saying masseuse, which is like the outdated term, right? Like it's like massage therapist. But the guys are definitely like, we don't care. It's masseuse.
I didn't know that even.
I didn't realize that was not.
Flight attendant, is it like a stewardess.
Masseur is a man and masseuse is a woman or something?
I'm not sure if it's like that. I think it's just like, I think masseuse has a lot of like old connotations of what
they
do.
It's like stewardess. Where they're like, that's not what we do. We're like a massage therapist or something?
A massage therapist is like what it is now. I think masseuse has like a connotation to like maybe like, you know, with sexual exploits or something.
Right.
And then they're trying to get away from it by just being like, no, we're massage therapists.
Therapists don't do that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you pay us a lot.
Therapists adds a sort of medical aspect to it.
Well, yeah, like I have a friend who's like a massage therapist and I think everyone in the industry prefers that, but not everyone knows it. So I'm just spreading the knowledge, you know?
Right.
Good for
That's
you.
That's my job.
Let's wake up, everybody.
Yeah. Don't fall asleep on the chair because you feel like it's not, you don't get your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you're ever getting a massage, it's my other thing.
Don't fall asleep. Yeah. Stay awake.
Have you ever had a foot massage?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It's good.
Those are insane.
Do you get the one like I've had to go get like a pedicure because like a friend was like, you have to come with me. And she was like, get ready. You're going to start doing this all the time. And they put the gel on your leg.
Yeah.
That like it was like feels like icy hot or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, man, women have been like hiding this from men for so long. It's
we
the
haven't
best thing.
Been hiding it. You've been paying for it the whole time.
Wow. It's true.
It's their little secret. Nobody knows about.
But I like how when Joe's giving that guy the dollars, yeah, he was just like, yeah,
that
great.
Was so insane. He was just taking it. I was trying to get into his head.
Me too.
Like, he was like, well, I guess if the guy wants to give me money now.
Yeah.
That I guy mean, I've never had this happen, but.
Doing great.
Do it again.
That's where the tense is, yep.
So weird. Do it again.
I was thinking that maybe he thought he wouldn't get a tip at the end. Like, this is the way Joe tips, so he might as well take the money.
But if you were taking dollars like that, wouldn't you be like, ugh, this guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was, like, smiling, like, great, another dollar.
That was a masseuse move. That's not a massage therapist move. That's a masseuse right there.
Then it got, like, a little icky.
Yeah, no, that's it had, like stripper connotations the entire
you
time.
Can rest your belly on my head.
Yeah. I'm sorry, strip therapist.
Strip therapist, yes. Not a stripper.
Please.
A nude therapist. But when he, like when he takes the dollar back.
That's going to cost you a dollar. Yeah, just one.
And where did he think the money was coming from?
No questions asked from that guy.
He was just like, you want to give me some cash? All right.
I know. Oh, we have a whole new character now, which is Murr as this like, rich.
I love that guy.
Oh, my God.
I just want Murr to. Murr fits so comfortably into that role.
Her and I met in Belize. She was radiant, but betrothed to another. She says, I love you, James. But he has more money than me. So I bought his company. Who's laughing now, Mildred?
That actually is Murr usually.
I know.
When he's not on camera.
That's on camera. Right? Murr's voice. That was it.
I also like the idea of like the goal of that not being like, you know, do what you say, whatever we tell you to say. If you don't say it, you lose. It was like, get this thing to happen. Like,
yeah, get having this to make him eye roll.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yes, yeah.
Or you lose. It's like so different from the show in a way, but it's like accomplish this thing. And, you know, and he did a great job. He got it.
Yeah,
he's so good at ad-libbing rich things.
I was a little bit more tense than usual on the trip because I was busy Instagramming my watch collection.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love watches.
He's taking them serious.
And the lighting just wasn't correct. That time of day is so brutal. So it was hard to post my watches.
And you know what they say? You can control people with money, but you can't control the sun.
You know what they say? You can control people with money, but you can't control the sun.
Yeah, I know. So then, that's like pretty much Murr's entire turn there.
Yeah,
really I really
fun.
Enjoyed watching Q eat Twinkies while he was getting massaged.
Oh my God.
I was like,
At least she called him out on it.
Yeah.
I was like, where was that?
Twinkie? You want Twinkie?
Did you just make that appear?
You don't want to know where I got it from, but it tastes good.
Like, where did those come from?
Yeah. She was fantastic. Like her personality like just came through.
Yeah. All the massage therapists, I think, were fantastic. She may have been my favorite one, though.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a contender for Mark of the Episode.
Yeah. She was up there. I have some of the next challenge that I thought may have gotten it for us.
Okay, no spoilers.
No spoilers.
I also like that he came up with Terry Folds and Terry Flaps.
I love that.
That was really cute.
What is that?
Right?
It sounds real enough to me. I'd buy that as a body part. Because Terry Folds are ticklish.
Folds.
Yeah.
I think I've never heard living vicariously through someone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's like a whole new thing. That looks like, I was like, that seems like a classic joke. You know what I mean? Like that's something like your uncle would say or something.
A classic
in a good way.
Joke, yeah.
In a good way. But yeah, living vicariously through. And then she just didn't, she just like, her brain was like, nope, that's not what he said.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And then jiggles. Sal was like, can you make my shoulder jiggle?
Which is like a callback to when Joe was asked for permission to jiggle the first time we did the masseuse bit. And then he jiggles on the table a little bit. But yeah, with him slapping his shoulder, so like, get it?
Yeah.
That was killing me.
And also Sal being like, turn off the video camera is like, it's like this meta thing almost. It's like, you know, we have all these cameras, but they like put one that would be very obvious to like find and like to show.
Because it's creepy.
It feels weird. Completely
creepy.
It's a testament to how sort of like casual he can be, that he could be like, hey, could you shut off that video or make sure it's still filming? Thanks, man. And then, was that a woman, right?
Yeah, it was
a woman. She was just like, yeah, no problem. Like, what? No, you should be upset by that. But he's just like, has this way of sort of being like, oh, he seems normal, I guess. Nothing untoward going on here.
If anything, it's like, she's probably like, oh, it's weirder for him, you know? Like,
I guess.
Right? Like, if it was the other way around, where like, you're the massage therapist, and you're like, oh, I'm going to just make sure the camera's rolling, you know?
Right, right.
And you're the person laying down, that's when it gets real weird.
I mean, I guess I would think if somebody, if I was the massage therapist, that I would think like, what does he think is going to happen here? Like, that would be the creepy part. Like, what exactly would you be filming? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right.
So
right.
Then I'd be like, what's, cautious.
Like, if you were the person laying down, right? And so, and then like the massage therapist set up a camera, or like, you didn't know, but they had a camera. You'd be like, I don't, what is going on? Like,
right. I'm leaving.
Goodbye. I would immediately leave.
Right.
Yeah. Me too.
I would take the camera with me. I'd be like, well, you just gave me a camera. Thank you. But
I'd ask for a copy. I don't know.
I know. What are other situations that would be?
You just want a copy. just for my own viewing pleasure, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Make multiples of this.
Because I can't afford a massage all the time. So I'll just like watch this one and I'll use like the crappy massager I have at home and just like jam it into my back. Yeah.
It's like those roller coaster things where you feel like you're on a roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, I sit there, like watch like a roller coaster on YouTube, get really close to the screen and put my hands up, have a fan blowing on me.
All I want to say about Sal is, was he just talking to his earpiece?
Yes.
I mean, in front of the
100%, he does it all the time,
and it's like, how is he getting away with that?
It works, and it's the craziest thing.
Oh yeah, like when he realized that they were talking about her being pregnant. Not being pregnant.
Yeah. But like, yeah, he killed her, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's so funny. The guy.
Oh no, she was on her deathbed.
Yes.
Yeah. The guys will have full on conversations with the guys in their ear in front of Marks, and people will give them a curious look or whatever. But then once they jump back into conversation with the people around them, the people usually act like nothing ever happened. And it's so weird knowing in real life you can do that at any point.
Well, because I guess it takes too much time to sort of process what's going on. And once they start talking to you again, you're back in like this thing. You can't really like be like, wait, what just happened there?
Have you ever done any gigs where, you have, where there's an earpiece and people are talking to you?
Yes.
So you've done, on Red Eye, it's like that, right? That was an old show that was on Fox News that was like a comedian panel.
I guest hosted a few times, so then I had an earpiece, but I never had one when I was just a guest on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's like those gigs where you have to have an earpiece in and you're trying to talk or perform and then they're like giving you notes. It's hard. And like, I've even done it, and you've done it on the show too, where you have the earpiece in and the guys are telling you what to do while you're also talking to people. It's so strange. And sometimes you just like space out and because you're listening and you have to like stop for a second. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, people like Mario Lopez or like Seacrest, they're like pros at that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Like legit. They're like, they'll have a full conversation talking to camera while a person's like feeding them some other completely different thing.
Wow.
You have to like put your brain into two different places. And now the Jokers are at that Seacrest level.
Whoa.
Wow.
No, it's hard to do. Especially, I've done it with other like hidden camera shows.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to, you have to be real to someone and someone's talking and you're telling you what to say. And it's like so hard to listen to the person that's talking to you and then apply whatever you're saying.
Which hidden camera
shows? And keep it real.
Have you done?
Well, years ago, I was a writer on...
Boiling Points?
No. Oh, it was on NBC.
Like, what would you do?
Oh, God, no. But Rich was on that show.
He was?
Which was hilarious. Rich played a... comedian that made fun of people in the audience, like really bad, and you know, to see like what would happen. But so we set up for and then the show had to be real. So there was like real audience and you know, real comedians. So I was one of the comedians, but there was a comedian on before me, and God, I'm so bad with names now, I can't remember his name. the audience, people got mad at him.
Really? Just
doing his own act, had nothing to do with the show, and left and were mad at him. And the guy that was on, you know, the first comedian, and he didn't even do anything edgy really or anything.
Wow.
So it was like really weird. And then Rich had to come out and be really crazy. So now the audience was like mad at the audience members who had gotten upset, right? Mm. They were a little bit like, come on, you're overreacting. So then when Rich was doing it, it took a long time because they'd already sort of like...
Yeah, they went the other way with it.
They'd already doubled down before. They're like, hey, we can deal with anything, right. You know.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And then there was two women in the audience that were overweight that he made fun of. That's when people sort of like, well, hey, take it, you know.
Okay.
That's too much.
That's crazy.
There was like racism, and there was like a man with a young, like his young wife that people were just like,
I support the art.
Get him.
Yeah, it was only like when he started, you know, talking about buffets with the overweight women that people were like, hey, you're taking it too far now.
That's crazy. That's fun. Like, what would you do? We've sometimes like...
God, I got to remember the name of the show I worked on.
We've come
on NBC.
Let's see. We'll Google it. Right.
Oh, Spy TV.
Spy TV.
Oh. And then there was another one that was Scare Tactics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So on Spy TV, I was a writer, and then they were looking for some woman. I guess they kept auditioning women. And then finally they came into the writer's room, and they're like, I guess what Bonnie can do it. Like, really upset.
Like, I guess you're perfect for this role. Oh, so we're going to have to put you on camera.
I guess, yeah.
But it's funny with what you do, what would you do? Because sometimes we have ideas that are like a little too what would you do?
Right.
And sometimes they're like this advertisement one is kind of cool. Because it's a little bit like that where we're like, we have a thing where we're like asking a person for like their feedback.
Right.
And it is a little like, oh, what would you do in this situation if someone came up to you? But it's not like a big social issue or something. It's just like, I have this.
And people were talking in their normal speaking voice, which I think is, I can't believe no one on What Would You Do goes like this. Hey, can you guys keep it down a little bit over there? We're trying to have our lunch. Thank you.
Yeah.
They're like,
like really enunciating everything
so
over there.
They're so loud.
Like, it would always be like kids bullying another kid, like on What Would You Do? And it would be like, give me your skateboard. No, it's mine. It's like so acted out. It's like, and nobody stepped in.
I don't think kids should be on shows, but
on TV shows,
yeah, just is like
feels
irritating.
We should have adults playing them.
Yes, exactly.
I agree with you.
Fun fact about What Would You Do and Jokers: we share a director, or at least did.
Really?
Andrew Hood used to direct on What Would You Do.
Okay.
He directs our show now.
I'm even learning things.
Wow.
Yeah,
amazing.
I didn't know there was. It was like a, you know, it's like a tight community
directors.
It's funny, like every now and then, like I'll get asked to work on like another, like a commercial that's hidden camera or something, and like I'll go and do it, and then it'll be like a director, like Pete Folks, who used to direct our show, is the director of that.
That's
and it's like, yeah, there's like five people that get called in on everything.
Well, I was a producer on the Spy TV, and then we would have like these big, you know, some of them were just small hidden camera things, but some of them were like these huge sort of productions, and people would get upset and cry and stuff like that. And the director would be like, okay, we're gonna cut. And I'd be like, keep going. Because at the end, you know, you'd be like, hey, you're on a like hidden camera show. They'd be like, they'd be so happy. They'd immediately switch, you know?
It's a big safety net when you know you're on a hidden camera show. People are generally like very relieved to find out. And it's like a fun, I think from like our fans and stuff, or our marks that we've like released on the show, it's like a fun experience. And then it's like a story they have going forward.
Well, ours were kind of mean sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was like a lot of internal conflict, like with people that worked on the show, people who thought they were too mean, you know, it was like one time they took a porta potty and I can't remember the bit very well, but the mom and the son were in going on a helicopter ride, and then the son got, you know, they landed for a bit, and he was like went into a porta potty, and then the helicopter somehow went up with the porta potty, right?
Are you kidding? And the kid was like not in on it?
No, the kid was in on it. Oh. So he escaped out the back, but the mom thought the kid was still in the porta potty.
Terrifying. And the mom
would be like,
God.
Yes. Like
freaking out. We're like, keep rolling.
Oh my god.
And then people, I want more tears. Like, ah. I want to taste those tears through the camera.
Well, this was by far the like craziest one. Okay, so we had a
this is gonna be crazier than like a mom thinking her son's dead.
Yes. Yes. This is because the other part of it was we'd have these job interviews all the time. And this was what I thought was the worst. Like, because
people
would come in thinking they were really going for a job interview. Yep. And it would, you know, it's like.
We avoid these situations intentionally. Okay.
So you can see why.
Well, the other thing that helps with our show is like, it's like everything's going to be happening to the jokers.
Right.
So like, that's like the other thing is like, people are always like, can you show the reveals? But it's like, really, the person's just like, oh, good. I'm glad it's not.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's a completely different kind of thing because we're really trying to get a reaction from the mark. And you guys are doing this thing where you're making fun of the person that's out there.
Right.
You know?
But that is a good point. You said,
the with Joker.
I want to hear what was worse than a mother thinking her son was going to die.
So and this cost so much money because it was like a high rise and it was involved a window cleaner. Okay. So.
Perfect setup.
Yes. So these people come into this office and, you know, it's like this big, you know, office with big windows and the window cleaners would be out there and the boss would be asking them questions. And then he'd go, you know what? Hang on. I got to take this call from China or wherever. And he goes, whatever you do, do not interrupt. It's so important, you know, whatever company, whatever. They'd make a big speech about it. And then he'd get on the phone and then behind him, the window washer would fall off and be hanging there, you know, by his leg or whatever.
Oh, my God.
People so would evil. Not interrupt the boss. Because they wanted the job so bad.
Was the boss like facing away from?
Yeah, the boss's back was to the window, so the boss couldn't see the window washer fall off. So then the person who was interviewing was facing the window, and it would see it. And sometimes they'd be like, but lots of times they didn't say anything, and you're like, it's so sad that they want the job so bad that they're like letting a window washer hang by his foot. That's crazy.
I feel like I would not give that person the job because I'd be like, is this how? What? You can't do that. Like, you're a bad person.
I'm gonna actually just do that as a job interview technique.
Yeah. And then the real CEO is the guy that's hanging and he opens the window. He's like, you're hired. Yeah. You said something and you saved my life.
It's undercover boss as
interview. Some mashup. It's a portmanteau of shows.
Yeah.
Literal undercover boss.
Oh, man. That is very fun. All right. Well, let's jump into this, which is the advertisement in the yearbook.
Yes.
Which did you guys know this idea? Like, did you guys have these in like your yearbook?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know of it. We didn't have it in ours, but
my parents would never pay for anything, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had that option.
Yes. I've seen it.
My mom wrote in my yearbook, like put out one of these ads. It was very small. And she didn't realize that I guess people were going to write very sweet messages. And her message to me, I should have brought it so know that I'm telling the truth.
I believe you.
But
it's just a story of why you're in comedy.
It says that it's like for Christina Santamaro. And then it says, you know, congratulations, you're a great kid. A little strange, but a great kid. Oh my God. And that's all it says. It doesn't say we love you, nothing. It says you're a great kid, a little strange, but a great kid.
Did you know that?
I didn't know.
You opened your yearbook? God.
Yeah, that's funny. My mom would always write stuff like that too that would be like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone will see one day or something like that where you're like, what's wrong with me now?
That's cryptic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, they'll find out.
Everyone will see your true colors one day.
It would always be like, you have your own style or something like that where it's like, wait.
But you didn't know at the time. You're like, wait, what are you saying exactly?
I thought everyone liked me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the idea. This first one I think is like the perfect intro to it. It's like all about Murr.
Yeah.
It doesn't include the wife saying like, you know, congrats.
And I love that guy calling
that
it
mark
out.
Was
the
mark was great.
I think he was my mark of the episode because he gave just like, that answer was, again, like Joe said in the episode, the perfect response.
So why is his wife in the picture?
The perfect question.
No.
No, why wouldn't my wife be in the picture? He's my son. You understand, he's my son.
Right? Her son too, right?
Yeah. I guess maybe I could have wrote to our son. But still, she's never taken a photo as good as this one.
You say these type of things to your wife?
Never. I'm not crazy.
I should mention my son is in this photo. I cropped him out.
I should mention my son was in this photo, but I cropped him out.
Oh, the funniest thing was when he goes, my son was cropped out.
Yeah, yes. That's great.
Like these bits like this are always about, like, you know, who you get, but this one specifically is about, like, who you get.
Yeah.
Because this next guy for, like, the Sea Hound, was it Coos?
Yeah, it was Coos Hound, and apparently you can't say it on TV, and can we'll see if we say it on the podcast. So if you can hear me say Coos Hound.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
So can you say like Huffman Coos?
Yeah, you could say that.
Is that okay?
Yeah, you could say it's the Huffman Coos Hound.
Huffman Coos Hound.
Nice workaround.
So anyway, but like this person was like, yeah, don't worry about it. Like it was the perfect guy for this kind of thing. He's like, I put it in my yearbook too. Like, you know, yeah. I put it in my son's yearbook. I like Sal's like, I like when they have to act before it, like mm-hmm. on the phone.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I have the yearbook. Look, I wanted to, babe, you're my rock. You're my world, babe. The ads in the book was printed today. There's 1,000 copies. There's nothing I can do. You want me to talk to the principal? I'll think about it. I will get the asparagus on the way home. Love you. Bye.
Which is what was even better when Joe was like, oh, you want me to act like this is really my wife? He's like, yeah, you're right. We'll talk when I get home. Or I'll see you at home. Like, that's it.
Back to the Sal turn, like the guy, he's just like, yeah, I'm having trouble. You know, like my wife's giving me a hard time. And he's like, yeah, welcome to the club. Like, I hope that he watches that with his wife. Yeah. She's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
That's like always a concern of ours. Seriously, when the guys are talking to Mark, that they might go off and say too much before you do the bit, because then they're not going to want to sign. Like, if that guy went, he's right. like, trust me, my wife, she's a real B.
Yeah, that's why.
He's from the 1920s.
He
jumps on the back of trolleys to get around.
That's why I have a side piece and a whole side family that she doesn't know about.
Check out the gams on her, and it's like...
But do they
Black
ever say, like, yes, but can you not put that in, or...
They do, and it happens really. The guys are very good at cutting them off, where it's like, if they think they're going to go... If the Joker thinks, like, the Mark is starting to go down that road, they'll just cut them off and be like, let me show you what I'm going to do right here. As opposed to, like, before you bite off more than you can chew or put your foot in your mouth, one of those will work. We'll keep them both in. But yeah, it's like they'll stop them and just be like, okay, back to Joker time. So they don't get in trouble with their family or their job sometimes is a thing.
But if I were a Joker, I'd be like, I want to hear so much more about that. And like, even though I will never be able to use this turn, I just like, I wouldn't be able to help but be like, yeah, tell me more.
Oh
like,
my God.
Just because of the audience that is like the crew that probably wants to know it too. Right. That I'm like, let me just entertain the crew by getting all these secrets out of this guy on camera. It's just, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to help myself. So Joe is asking for money for his daughter's college fund because he and his wife messed up.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
It says, parents seeking contributions to daughter's college fund. It's not her fault. She's a good kid. We messed up and didn't plan right. Any help would be appreciated.
Had a piggy bank.
We messed up. And that guy was great too. That guy's just like, well, it sounds like, you know, you're just making it all about like how you messed up and you're asking people for money. And they're like, yep, on the nose, exactly what we wanted.
That is it.
Yeah, that was, I mean, all these marks, like, were really, really good. Like you know, a thing
woman coming up, yeah.
Yeah, actually, she's my mark of the episode. I made a mistake.
You made five, Simon.
I know.
You just love everybody.
But they just keep getting better. This episode just kept getting better the entire way. And, like, she's right before the punishment, which is great. So I think she's my favorite one.
But also, the punishment has the mark of the episode, too.
Oh, wow, Casey, you know what? You're right. You're going to be right on this one. But let's talk about her first real quick.
Sure.
Q's turn, Free Zeppelis for single moms.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, single moms have it tough. Free Zeppelis are not gonna help them.
Yeah.
Was such a good line.
I know, it's like you know everything about her politics. moment on.
It was just nailed it. Just like that's such a funny response.
You watched this episode with your daughter, right?
Yes.
So what did she think of this bit?
We just giggle. And then I kept asking her, and she was like, just watch. So she wasn't that like vocal about it, but.
She didn't give you any tips on what not to do in her yearbook when the time came.
She agreed with all the marks. Okay. By the way.
How old is she? Yeah.
She's 12.
Okay. Yeah.
She loves the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's
like the great thing about this show, because there's really very, I'm sure you guys hear this all the time, but there's so few shows that, played a different.
It's my
ages.
Favorite thing
we'll,
about
we'll take more praise. We'll
yeah,
take
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yes,
no,
of course.
It
is the greatest show on TV. We know that. The fans know that. That's why
well,
there's another podcast.
That's what I think, like, this is a part of the popularity. Like,
it is.
You know, all my neighbors love the show. They watch it with their kids and stuff. Mm. It's like a thing they do. You know?
Which, it is.
It's my favorite thing to hear is like when like a family's like, you know, we have like four different TVs in our house, but when that show's on, we all watch one.
Yeah.
That's like the sweetest thing to hear. Cause that's like, I had a family that would like, we'd watch like The Simpsons and Seinfeld together as a family.
Yeah.
And then everybody else was into different things, but like those two shows were the ones. And so to have a comedy show that's like that, it's crazy.
Next week is going to be a fun one for the whole family to watch. So stay tuned on that.
Oh,
yeah. It's an interesting one.
Yeah. That's a disclaimer. Let's jump into this punishment, please. I loved it. I was laughing so hard. I haven't laughed this hard at a punishment in a while.
Oh, it was so funny.
It was bizarre. Completely
first of all, he was completely white by the end,
And that's what we wanted. And like that was the initial idea was that we just wanted Joe to be like that, put zinc on, like, and make him look super white, and like he's not allowed to do it. That's to me was like that's funny enough.
Right.
But then this completely took like a left turn when this guy came over, and Joe's commitment to being like, we're not filming. What do you mean we're not filming?
The earpiece.
Oh, that was incredible.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I have to go to work.
Oh, you have to go to work. Well, what a story it would be, Anket. You met me on my day off when I'm not even filming, and you met me in the park, and then we got to hang out.
Do you have the earpiece?
No.
You don't have
the earpiece, no.
That's quick.
You took it out?
He took it out.
So, and the fact that he's that much of a fan where he's just like, let me see the earpiece.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Well, does that happen all the time that fans?
Every shoot. Okay, every shoot, at some point, a fan will come up and say, hey, are you guys filming? Are you like, or like, whatever. They'll just like take out their phone and start filming like from far away. And then like a producer will come and be like, hey, please don't do that right here.
But rarely do they know about the earpiece, or like they may know about it, but they're not like, let me check.
Oh, right. No, they don't always check for the earpiece. Well, the guys usually are very like upfront about like, hey, bud, we're filming. Like, can you leave so like we can get this going here? But like Gatto, like it just like tickled the guys right away because like Gatto played it the way he did. And this Mark believed him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which was fantastic.
I know, because I kept thinking he was
the end.
Yes. I kept thinking he was going to at some point be like, come on, you're filming. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so to that point where, like I said, it kind of happens like all the time where somebody comes up and says it. And Q says it here. It's like they finally get to mess with the fans.
Yeah.
And in a way that, again, this guy didn't think he was on the show. So they're like, now they're messing with him. And like
he was perfect.
Talking, well, because he checked the earpiece. I guess that was for him, you know?
Yeah.
He knew.
Yeah.
So then he felt like it was okay to call Sal grossly overweight.
Oh, yeah. My God. Well,
it is a callback to the show, the episode where they're UFO experts. And it was Joe and Sal had to role play a grossly overweight alien and like a dizzy scientist or something.
I didn't even
remember
that.
So who's the grossly overweight one? And the whole audience said Sal instead of Joe. They're like, oh, this one. And Sal's like, no. And they had a cute little back and forth between
the
two.
That's so funny. But yeah.
So he was like an uber fan.
He's
he
a
knew
big fan.
Every
And he was so sweet too. Like fact
rubbing
that
his belly was getting uncomfortable.
His like inner thigh, his upper inner thigh. Like what?
And he was wearing those tiny
speedos. Like that's a place where like no one will lotion you there. Like the inner thigh
in front of people. Yeah. And the fact that like when he put it on his belly and he just like went for it right away without Joe even asking.
Yes.
Like it just got to a point where and he had all these questions. He was so sweet. It was the perfect person.
Well, that's
for
the
it.
Thing is that I think he got so like locked in, like, oh my God, I'm actually talking to this guy that I, you know, that worship and like all the people around. He didn't care about anymore.
Not at all.
No.
So that's the best. Yeah. The people like, sitting around them that are staring at them.
Yes. Like,
and then our super fans locked on Joe. Yeah, he doesn't see anybody else.
Yeah. This is a punishment where it's really like what the editors did is amazing. Like to do that, like what we're talking about is things that the editors showed us. They showed us like what actually happened, but like they show us the close up on the stuff going there and then the hand going on it. Yeah. They show us the like the marks, like, I mean, like the other people around watching. And so like it really sets the scene in this amazing way.
Mm-hmm. I wish they could recut this. You saying that made me like want to like watch this with like romantic music playing in the background. Yeah. It was like the love scene from Top Gun. I don't know if the editors can do that. Get some like soft blue lighting in there and like, the awkward kissing that they do in Top Gun.
I would also want to just watch a time lapse of the whole thing. Just like one locked camera that's just like all the lotion going on and him going from like... And then like, this is one where we have to show the reveal. Mm-hmm. Like there are, most of the time, you know, we don't show the reveals that often, but like this was one because they're messing with him, like we were saying, that we have to show his reaction to them. And like the way he hugs the other guys is like so sweet.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
And then Sal being like, so I'm grossly overweight. Like,
and Murray killed me with that line of the punishment ends when you get an erection.
Oh yeah.
It's great.
So funny.
That started to make me uncomfortable. Yeah. Like I was like, oh God, what if he did?
It would have been fun. In a massage episode, I think that's how it's got to end.
Yeah. Yes.
Happy endings for all.
That's right. It is amazing that,
remember when I said I could watch this with my kid?
Oh, right. Well, you can't listen to the podcast with your kid. This is where it gets very dirty.
This is why they don't want to be called masseuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was just such a fun punishment. Yeah. And what's fun is we also have a sneak peek for next week's episode. And this one's a crazy one.
Yeah.
Have fun.
All right, Sal.
Here we go.
It's a laugh! That's a laugh of the ring!
That's the biggest laugh I've ever seen.
I'm in bad shape here because I'm laughing at the regular names. The real name is admittedly not funny at all. Frank Sampson.
Oh, he's in trouble. You are in trouble. That was the easy one. He got a glimpse of it.
What are you doing?
Look at us. She's like, what is going on? He's on the radar now.
Come on, Sal.
He's done one name.
Yeah.
Melt Gibson.
Melt Gibson.
Rodrigo.
got him.
Rodrigo AstroTurd.
All right. Well, that's fun. I want to just thank Bonnie for being here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
This is it. It was so fast.
I mean, we can just keep going. I'll turn it up and we'll keep talking. Yeah.
You can stay. How can our fans find you online and stuff?
At Bonnie McFarlane. I'm on Instagram and I'm on Twitter, but I've deleted my Facebook.
All right.
As we all should.
And so you got shows coming up?
I have a lot of shows, but I really don't know what to promote. Oh, I have a show at Gotham coming up at, I don't know the date. I don't know why.
Yeah, we'll just Google Bonnie.
If you're a real Jokers fan, you Google Bonnie McFarlane every day.
I have a ton of shows in the city, you know, every week, but... once a month, I have a show at Gotham that's called The World's Best Comedy Show. And it's like a killer lineup every time. It's a really cheap. I think it's only $15. So.
Yeah, huge. All right.
Has Sal ever done that show? Sal Volcano from Practical Jokers?
No, but I...
Grossly overweight
did
Sal.
Did I ask him once and he couldn't do it?
Probably.
I think I did.
Yeah.
He's a busy
guy. And I'll
busy
never guy. Ask him again.
Well, Bonnie, you were the mark of this episode.
Yeah, you know what? I think I agree.
What is it? She like you guys weren't recording? What is the joke?
Yeah, this is all a prank. We just wasted your time.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm Casey Jost.
James McCarthy.
Tina Santamaro.
All right, see you next time.
Bye.